Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding, Joan Sims, Nicholas Phipps, and Warren Mitchell bring you the truth about the advertising world as it nearly is. Yes, it's something to shout about. Once the festive spirit reaches the employees of Apsley, Addis, Cone, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners, there's a general slacking off in all departments. Bottles appear from the filing cabinets and people keep rushing out to do last-minute shopping. This state of affairs starts around August and goes on till Easter. And this year, about a week before Christmas, the firm had received so many Christmas cards that they were only replying to those with RSVP on them.
Adrian, look at this one. It says, "Greetings from the makers of Moby Dick margarine, the only margarine on the market which contains no butter and doesn't affect the heart." Oh, I don't call that very festive.
Well, the picture on the front isn't very cheerful either. All the firm's employees standing beside the carcass of a rotting whale.
I must say, the one from Bollinger's Mothballs isn't much better. There's an engraving of the original Dr. Bollinger in the act of discovering his world-famous mothball.
Let's have a look. Well, really, fancy doing it in the middle of St. James's Park. And what's that horse supposed to be doing?
I'm not quite sure. It depends which end is the front.
Here's one from the Amalgamated Self-Adhesive Label Company.
They're not a client of ours, are they?
No. Listen to this. "During 1962, we're hoping to get stuck on you."
Well, personally, I think that's rather nasty. I don't want to spend 1962 covered in self-adhesive labels.
Morning, all. Here I say the directors have finally decided what day it is. I wanted you to be the first to know.
But, Mavis, I've known it was Tuesday ever since I got up.
Oh, no, it isn't. It's next Thursday week. Mr. Blythe says they had to call a special meeting to decide.
Well, I really don't see what it's got to do with Mr. Blythe.
No, neither do I.
I'm talking about the office party.
Oh, I see. Mavis, if you'd only tell us what you were talking about before you started speaking, then we might be able to follow what you were saying.
Well, honestly, in that case, there'd be no point in my saying it, would there?
Well, that would be the simplest solution. However, about this party, what time does it start?
6:30 p.m. in the evening.
Oh, then I'd better tell... Then I'd better tell Janet to be ready at 5.
You certainly had. Last year you were so late that practically everyone had gone except old Mr. Giddy Jr.
Well, he'd gone in a way. I mean, he was incapable of speech.
Oh, he was like that when he came. It was long past his bedtime, but his doctor gave him a special extension.
Oh, did they? I never noticed it.
Anyway, it wasn't my fault we were late.
It was all because of Janet's new dress. The thing was, I said I'd pick her up at her front door because I didn't want to get involved in a long conversation with her flatmate. And when I got there...
Michael, darling, here I am.
Janet, this is marvellous. You said you'd be ready at 7:30 and you actually are.
Well, it's entirely thanks to Drusilla. This isn't the sort of dress you can get into alone.
Don't tell me Drusilla's in there as well. There doesn't seem enough room. There doesn't seem enough room for two.
Darling, there's scarcely room for one.
It's the tightest dress I've ever worn. It's absolute murder.
In that case, why wear it?
I regard it as a challenge. The man in the gown shop said it was a dress with a message. It proclaims to one and all that I'm broad-minded.
Well, if you were broad anywhere else, you'd never have got into it. But I must say, it's very, well, it's sort of, you know.
You mean it does something for me?
Well, it certainly does something for me. Now, come on, I've got a cab waiting round the corner, and for heaven's sake, take it easy, or the zip'll go.
Oh, it's gone already, darling. Drusilla had to sew me into it. Michael, please don't go so fast. I can't run in this skirt. I just have to hobble and hop.
Well, hobble and hop this way. Here's our cab.
Where to now, sir?
33 Westbury Square.
Right here.
Well, don't just stand there, darling. Jump in.
Jump? Are you mad? I can scarcely totter. Really, what I go through on your behalf?
Oh, Janet, stop complaining and get in the cab. Then you can relax.
Come on, hurry up.
Oh, don't be so impatient, my good man. I love you know that time is the punctuality of princes.
Don't you come all the la-di-da with me, girl. It's your skirt was the trouble.
It's not my skirt, it's your cab. It's too high.
Oh, I'm very sorry, I'm sure. What do you want me to do? Let the air out of my tyres?
Oh, surely you must have had lady passengers in skirts like this before.
Yes. But what usually happens is the gent gives her an hoist up. Just one good hoist should do it. More than one, it's considered larking.
Well, fair enough. Get into position, darling, and I'll give you an hoist. Right, one, two, three, hut!
Oh, not quite high enough, darling. Try again.
All right, one, two, three, hut!
Try flapping your arms, miss. It might help.
It's all right, thank you. We managed.
Right, now sit down. Then I can get in.
All right. Oh, darling, I can't. I felt a seam go pop. If I sit down, all the others will go as well.
Come on, sit down, girl. The meat is already showing 10 bob.
That's nothing to what'll be showing if she does sit down. Well, you'll just have to ride standing up, that's all.
Oh, but darling, I can't. The roof's too low. I should flatten out my bouffant.
Yes, well, you did that when you put on the dress in the first place. Here, wait a minute. The sunshine roof.
What a fabulous idea. If you open the roof, I'll be able to stand without bending.
Well, just a mo. There we are. What about that?
Oh, it's marvellous. I feel all sort of regal standing here with my head through the roof.
Aye, aye. Who have we got in the back now, then? Boadicea?
A little more respect, please. You're referring to the first woman driver.
Well, for goodness sake, close the door, so let's get going.
I must say, from where I'm sitting, you look more like Anne Boleyn than Boadicea.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I can feel the wind whistling through my earrings. Oh, Michael, it started to rain. My new dress is going to get drenched.
Well, let's hope it doesn't shrink, unless you do.
Oh!
Ouch! Janet, darling, much as I like to have you sitting on my knee, I do like a bit of warning beforehand.
Oh, look at my dress. No, don't look, darling. And if there's any lightning, promise you'll close your eyes.
And that's why Janet arrived at the party wearing a taxi driver's overcoat.
You know, I never noticed. I merely thought her dress was a little more bizarre than usual.
Well, the poor soul, it just goes to show you never want to go out without a safety pin in your bucket bag in case of emergency.
Well, with Janet, I think a portable tent would be more useful.
I say, you heard about the office party? This year it's going to be held in the canteen, so there'll be more room for dancing.
Oh, is it? Well, this year I shall have a doctor's certificate saying that I'm excused rough games.
Oh, but Adrian, there aren't enough men to go round as it is, and Michael's hopeless.
I resent that. Once I get warmed up, my feet scarcely touch the floor.
Well, how could they? They're always on top of mine.
Well, after last year's experience with Mrs. Blythe, I should be sitting every dance out in the bar.
I don't remember you dancing with Mrs. Blythe, Adrian. Really, just because she's a director's wife, the things some people will do to try and get a rise.
No, it wasn't like that at all. Anyway, I nearly got the sack. Well, it was Maggie's fault, really.
Adrian, it wasn't. If you'd done what I told you, everything would have been all right. You see, Michael, he came into my office the day before the dance when I was talking to Mavis about the Christmas decorations.
Miss Tuffnell, and bought some smashing decorations for the typing pool. We've got one balloon and about 200 sprigs of mistletoe. You must come and see them.
Maggie, you'll have to help me.
Adrian, what's the matter? You haven't forgotten Hilda's Christmas present again.
No. She said she wanted something to wear, so I'm giving her a new oven mitt.
What wild extravagance.
No, not really. Little Catherine made it at our kindergarten. No, it's not Hilda that's bothering me. It's Mrs. Blythe.
I didn't know she cared. What's her problem?
Well, the office party tomorrow. Mr. Blythe has asked me to look after her because he'll be busy organising the raffle. Trouble is, she's mad about dancing, and I've let myself in for doing the cha-cha with her.
Oh, there's nothing to it, Mr. Beals. All you need is your body and a bit of rhythm.
Mavis, you make it sound very basic.
Oh, it's not basic at all. It's ever so simple, Mr. Beals. You just take a bloke in your arms and...
I beg your pardon?
Oh, manners, I'm sure. I was speaking in the vice versa.
Look, don't worry, Adrian. You just take hold of Mrs. Blythe.
Take hold of her? She weighs about 20 stone.
Well, take as much as you can. basic steps are very simple. Look, Mavis and I'll demonstrate. Come on, Mavis.
Oh, rightio. We'll show you the steps with our feet, Mr. Beals. Here, now, which one of us is going to be the bloke, Miss Tufnell?
I think you'd better, Mavis. I'm sure you know the steps better than I do. Now, try and think what the man does when you're dancing with him.
Well, some of them get very larky, I can tell.
Ilford's quite changed since the railway's gone all electric.
I suppose there's some connection?
Yes, at Barking. And all these lads come down in their chisel-toe shoes. They won't take no for an answer, some of them.
Mavis! Look, you do it with Adrian and I'll beat out the rhythm.
Okie doke. Come on, Mr. Beals. You start to commence by putting your right in the small of my back.
My right foot?
Your right hand. You can't possibly dance with one leg entwined round your partner's waist.
Oh, I don't know. I once saw an exhibition of jiving and they all did.
Oh, Mr. Beals. Pardon my mentioning it, but you've misplaced your hand. It's meant to be in the small of my back.
Oh, well, I don't think Mrs. Blythe's back has got a small. It's all one large big.
And for heaven's sake, loosen up and relax. Relax, Adrian.
If I relax anymore, I'll fall over.
Rubbish. Now, look, you've just asked Mrs. Blythe for the pleasure of a dance. Do try and look as if you're going to enjoy it.
But I'm not.
Now, look, far be it from me to protrude, Miss Tufnell. But down at the Ilford Jazz Club, they just grab you by the arm and say, come on, worm, let's squirm.
You can hardly say that to a director's wife, Mavis, not when she weighs nearly 20 stone.
Oh, well, I mean, if it's formal, you can always say, come on, lassie, lend me your chassis.
Well, as with Mrs. Blythe, it's more a superstructure than a chassis. It's rather hard to know what to say to it.
Look, it's quite easy. Just say, your husband tells me you do a wonderful cha-cha, Mrs. Blythe. I'm dying to try it. I simply don't know where to begin.
Ah, I must remember that. Your husband tells me you do a wonderful cha-cha, Mrs. Blythe. I'm dying to try it, but I simply don't know where to begin.
And before you start dancing, for heaven's sake, take your pipe out of your mouth.
Oh, we must watch our etiquette, mustn't we, Mr. Beals? Now, down at the jazz club, we are most particular. Gents do not smoke while dancing unless the lady is smoking as well.
Now, come along, Adrian. You start by putting your left foot forward.
And you now, Michael. We were there the whole afternoon, cha-chaing away until I was absolutely brilliant at it.
But, Adrian, I never saw you dancing with Mrs. Blythe at the party. What happened?
Well, she said to me, listen, they're playing a cha-cha, and I replied, yes. Your husband tells me you're trying to diet, but you simply don't know where to begin. Well, if I hadn't been wearing glasses, I think she'd have hit me.
Well, it was a pretty ghastly party all round, really. Not enough food and precious little to drink.
And whose fault was that, I'd like to know? I knew it was a mistake letting you and Adrian mix the fruit cup. It's a miracle we weren't all poisoned.
The trouble was we should never have mixed it in the canteen. There we were, trying to make one bottle of gin do the work of two. Adrian was pouring in the ingredients. And I was...
You did say put in a whole bottle of gin, didn't you, Michael?
That's right, old boy. Then a quarter of a bottle of cider.
Right, quarter of a bottle of...
Oh, no, wait a minute. Now, I've got it the wrong way round. It should have been a quarter bottle of gin and a whole bottle of cider.
Oh, really? But I've just put a whole bottle of gin in. I mean, that means that's four times too much.
Well, never mind. Put in four bottles of cider instead of one.
Oh, okay. Now, what's next on the recipe?
Half a gill of vermouth. How much is a gill?
About half a pint.
Oh, hang on. We've got our proportions wrong. So instead of half a pint, we've got to put in 2 pints.
Well, I can't put them into this punch bowl. There isn't room. I tell you what, let's use Mrs. Allardyce's washing-up bowl for the overflow.
It's a good idea. I say, it doesn't look awfully clean.
Oh, not to worry. Alcohol is an antiseptic.
That's why your stomach is always so healthy. Well, I think I'll put the whole bottle of vermouth in. It'll save time.
All right, now, what's the next ingredient? 1 pint of water. Oh, I don't think we want that, do we?
No, we can serve up the punch in damp glasses. Now, what next?
1 tin of raspberries. Well, how extraordinary. I don't think we've got a tin of raspberries.
Never mind, there's some stewed rhubarb in a bowl over there. Shove that in.
Right.
Well, that's the end of the vermouth.
Well, here's the rhubarb, Michael, but we'll have to put it in your bowl. There isn't room in mine.
I must say, it looks a bit weird. I wonder what it tastes like. Adrian, you try it.
Yes, why not? Let's live dangerously. Oh, good Lord. It tastes like furniture polish with overtones of detergent.
Perhaps it'll taste better when we mix both bowls together and add the sherry.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. We haven't got one bowl big enough to take the contents of the two bowls.
I know. Suppose you pour half your lot into that soup tureen, then I'll pour half my lot into your lot and put what's left in the soup tureen back into my lot.
Yeah, but which lot do we add the sherry to? Look, suppose we put the sherry into the soup tureen, then you top it up with your lot, and then I'll fill up your lot from my lot, which will leave me more room.
More room to do what?
Well, to add the sherry.
But you've already put the sherry into the soup tureen.
I know, but I can pour some of it back into my lot.
Yes, but then there'll be sherry in your lot, but not in my lot.
Yes, but as there'll be a space in the tureen because I've poured some of it into my lot, you can pour some of your lot in.
Into your lot?
No, into the tureen.
That's all very well, but there still won't be any sherry in my lot.
But there will be if I add some of my lot to your lot.
But I thought you'd already done that.
I have, and I'm going to do it again.
Well, I don't see any point in doing it twice.
Look, do you want any sherry in your lot, or don't you?
Well, of course I do. All I've got so far is vermouth and rhubarb. Look, I've got an even better idea. Supposing we put my lot and your lot into the canteen sink, then we'll have enough room to add the sherry.
Oh, brilliant! And how on earth do we carry the canteen sink up to the party?
We don't need to. We just mix it all up and then ladle it back into the bowls.
Yes, that'd do it. Well, I'll pour both the bowls in while you go and find the shed in.
Right. Oh, remember to put the plug in first, otherwise we're in dead trouble.
We are anyway. A lot of tea leaves have suddenly appeared from somewhere. Well, I don't think it'll matter. After everyone's had a drink, Mavis can go around telling fortunes.
How are you two gents getting on with your fruit cup, then? I just come in to look at me prune custard. It's always the same in the thundery weather. Can't get it to settle properly. It's the electricity in the prunes, what they do.
Adrian, I can't find the sherry.
Well, it's the end bottle on the shelf.
Can't be. The label says one teaspoonful removes the stains from 4 pounds of washing.
Here! Hands off that! That's me bleach! Use it for freshening up me mop, I do!
Yes, and very pretty your mop looks too. Though from the age of it, I should think a blue rinse would be more suitable. Michael, any luck with the sherry?
No!
Oh, well, let me help you find it. It's in a bottle with a bit of sticky tape over the cork.
Coming into my kitchen, turning the place into a bar parlour. I'm going to empty this sink for a start. Filling the sink with rhubarb. Some people have got no sense of common decency.
To the fruit cup.
10 quid's worth of drinks went down the drain.
Well, Michael, this year we must take great care not to get lumbered with mixing the drinks.
And we won't get lumbered with collecting any mince pies either.
Mavis, you're very quiet. Is anything the matter?
My mind's full of those mince pies. They keep coming up.
What, after a whole year?
Well, we never ate them, you see. That was the trouble. You see, my mum made them for the party, and Mr. Lightfoot and Mr. Beals kindly condescended to come down to Ilford to pick them up.
Yeah, Mavis's mum's pastry is rather heavy.
Well, it was all very unfortunate. We arrived at Mavis's house to collect the mince pies. We rang the bell, but there was such a commotion going on inside, and it was quite a while before anybody answered.
I'm not having them pigeons coming in here to watch the Queen's speech. And that's an end of it. There aren't enough chairs as it is.
But, Mother, they can all sit on the sideboard like they did last year.
I'm not having it. Not again. Last year, 3 of them laid eggs and Gran thought it was Easter. I can't stand her yelling for hot cross buns on Christmas Day.
But they're looking forward to watching the telly, Mother.
I can't help that. It's bad enough having to put up with Aunt Winnie and her back. You know she can't listen standing up. There, that'll be her now. She has a very instinctive ring, Winnie has. Except when she's using the knocker. All right, Win, I'm coming.
Gran, have you finished decorating that tree yet? You've been up that ladder all day. Do come down to terracotta.
I can't. I've got me bead fringe caught round the fairy light.
Dad, look who's arrived. It's Mr. Beals and Mr. Lightfoot, and here's me in my hairnet.
Mother, I know it's you in the hairnet. We haven't been partied long.
But I thought it was Aunt Winnie.
No, dearest, it's you. Now, come along in, gentlemen, and have a glass of good cheer.
Well, that's very nice of you, Mr. Willis, but we are in a bit of a hurry.
Yes, we just came in to collect Mavis and the mince pies, actually.
Gran, look who's here.
Winnie, why are you smoking a pipe? If you play havoc with your back, I shouldn't wonder.
He's not Winnie. He's Adrian Beals.
You'll have to speak up. I can't hear when I'm up a ladder.
I'll try raising my voice.
You'll have to excuse her, Gran. But when she gets up that ladder, she can't hear a thing.
Yeah. Now, Mrs. Willis, it is getting late, and we really must be getting back to the office party, so I wonder if you could...
If you're going back, sir, you may as well take Mavis and her mince pies.
Yeah, that's what we came for.
Never mind. I'm sure you can find room for Mavis and the mince pies as well. I'll give her a shout up the stairs. Mavis!
The one thing our mother prides herself on is giving a very nice shout up the stairs.
Yes, I must compliment her. That was a magnificent one. Probably ventilated the place quite nicely as well.
Mavis! Oh, what a pity the bathroom door's not open. You get a lovely echo.
I thought we'd already had one.
She says she'll be right down, sir.
I'm not coming down till I've got me bead fringe out of the fairy light.
Ah, that'll be Auntie Winnie. Funny her ringing like that. She usually knocks.
Now, whatever became of them mince pies? I packed them all away yesterday in a box marked Baked Beans, Use No Hooks. Now, what did I do with them? Now, let me think back to yesterday.
Mother, look who's here. It's our Gladys.
Oh, I thought you were Winnie.
Well, really, you ought to know your own sister-in-law by now, what's come all the way from Dagenham special. All the way from Dagenham.
Now, Gladys, don't start. I'm thinking back to yesterday.
Oh, Gladys, this is Mr. Lightfoot and Mr. Beals, both of them.
How do you do?
Glad to have the pleasure. I'm Mr. Willis's sister by marriage. And where am I sleeping, I'd like to know?
Well, I've no idea. We only popped
in... I have to be near the stairs. Near the stairs, you see, ever since my accident. Will you see I get a bed near the stairs?
Please, Glad, I'm trying to think back to yesterday. Gran, have you seen a cardboard box marked Baked Beans? Use no hooks.
Yes, but it's no good for packing presents. It's full of mince pies.
Yes, I know it was, Gran. But where did you see the box?
It was round a whole lot of mince pies.
All the way from Dagenham I've come. Changed three times. And what for, I ask you? Mince pies filled with baked beans. I'm going up to the landing for a laid down.
Hello, Mr. Beals. Hello, Miss Lightfoot. Oh, I'm sorry to have kept you waiting. You have met all the family, haven't you?
Yes, thanks, Mavis, and we'd like to go.
Oh, Mr. Beals, you don't want to be frightened of them. They're just people.
Amazing. They certainly had me fooled.
Look, Mavis, we're ready. All we want is the mince pies.
Oh, Mum, where can they be? Gran hasn't stuffed them in the turkey again.
I sincerely hope not, Maeve. It's still alive.
That must be Auntie Winnie at the door.
Oh, has she gone out?
She hasn't come in yet.
I thought she didn't stay long.
No, that was me. You thought I was Winnie when I was smoking a pipe.
Well, you all look alike from the top of the ladder.
Well, next time we call, we'll bring our stilts.
You're not coming up my ladder in kilts. And for pity's sake, don't turn on them fairy lights or I'm a goner.
Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Beals, this is our Auntie Winnie. She's arrived in the flesh at last.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? All the way from Waffenpistow I've come. It's a pleasure, I'm sure. Season's greetings to all of you. And what about my present, I'd like to know?
We sent it to you, Winnie. A nice electric blanket, just like you asked for.
I wish you had. When the parcel arrived, our Sarah took it in and brought it up to me. And when I opened it, out for a shower of mince pies. I wouldn't have minded, but I was still in bed at the time. Currants all over the counterpane. Candied peel in the hot water bottle cover. Everywhere they were. Everywhere.
That's always been the trouble with Auntie Winnie. She has no sense of humour.
Well, anyway, we won't have anything like that this year. I only hope we'll be spared the embarrassment of Mr. Bly's annual festive speech.
Oh, we're not having that this year. I was informed in the strictest privacy by Mrs. Allardyce, who shall be nameless.
Really? Does that mean we aren't having a speech at all?
Oh, we're having a speech, all right. But instead of it being pronounced by Mr. Blythe, it's going to be given by a minor.
Really? Must be part of the government's Eat More Coal campaign.
No, Mr. Beale's a minor employee. Matter of fact, the party concerned is, namely, and to wit, me, if the truth be known. I've been collecting words all morning. Well, would you like to hear my preliminary final draft?
Oh, yes, I've been.
Rightio, I've got you all jotted down here in my notebook here. Now, where are we? Yeah. Oh, yes, here it is. My lords and ladies and gentlemen and etc. On behalf of the girls in the typing pool, of whom I am happy to call myself one, I would like to say to you all, buy Auntie Winnie a pair of beige bed socks.
A very nice warm sentiment.
Now that can't be right. Oh no, I'm reading out my gift list. Say to you all that the past year has been of great importance to all because we couldn't have managed without it.
How true. Would have been a gap in all our lives.
But before I finish, I would like to conclude. Conclude with saying how glad we are to have had so many absent friends with us today. At this season of Auld Lang Syne. So I hope this finds you as it leaves me, sitting down in brackets, and that you'll all make the most of this year's opportunity.
Well, after a speech like that, Mavis, we'll have to. I shouldn't think they'll ever give us another one.
If you can believe your ears, you've just heard something called Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, and most other characters by Warren Mitchell. This script was found inside a cracker by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe and placed in the stocking of John Simmons, who produced our recorded program and who no longer believes in Santa Claus. I'm sure if Santa Claus is listening, he no longer believes in John Simmons.
Comedy